Just about 20 minutes away from 8 on this Sunday morning here, the 25th of September already. Dino Mazzoni is on the line from the firm of Gattuso, Bouchard and Mazzoni. Dino, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Connors.
Do you carry your own business cards?
It's funny you mentioned we're actually getting business cards printed, but I really don't, because when I meet people, and I met a bunch of people this week at some PR events,
yeah.
I just, we exchange emails, I'll text, I'll say, give me your text, or we'll link in, but cards are a little passe. I know that some people still use them, and so we got some, but frankly, I'm way down from what I used to do like years ago.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, when I started out in radio in the mid-1980s, like business, every announcer had a business card. I'm not sure why.
Really?
Yeah. I still hung on to a few of them from the different stations I've worked at.
That's kind of cool. Ken Connors, broadcaster.
And I still have my McDonald's badge from 1977 at the McDonald's on Code Virtue.
Well, that's cool. I'm a McDonald's employee, too, so we have something in common. Look at that.
Where did you start?
Back in St. Michel.
Oh, is that right, eh?
Yeah, it was cool.
Were you on buns, on the grill? What were you doing?
I was on the grill, and I did the late shift. I was the one that closed the store.
Yeah, you had to close. Oh, my goodness, yeah, closing. Oh, God, I'm still scarred. Memories of doing closes at the McDonald's where I had to wash all those dishes in the back.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I've always said that's a great first job for people. A lot of kids.
Yeah, I say that to my boys all the time. I said, once you do that, you got to get a real job after. You don't want to do that ever again. It's hard work. It's really hard work.
But you know, you learn to work in a team too, right? In the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah. So very. Yes. Yeah. It's a good start.
Yeah, no, for sure. Good stuff.
So Dino, a big story this week was, I guess they confirmed this pilot project, Dogs in the Metro. Some people love it. Of course, dog lovers are all for it, most of them. And people who aren't necessarily dog lovers and have allergies or what have you, and maybe are afraid of dogs, aren't crazy about the idea. So what do we need to know about this?
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head. I think if I did this story 10 years ago, probably have a very different appreciation of the whole thing. But as of October 15th, we will be able to ride our Metro with our dogs. It's a 9-month pilot project, and there are some restrictions. So you can bring your dog between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and after 7 p.m. on weekdays. And the goal there is to avoid rush hours. Mm-hmm. And then you can bring your dog anytime on the weekends and the holidays, and there's no fares. So that's a cool thing. The rules are really the same, or pretty much the same, as riding the Metro with your bicycle. The only difference here is that you have to actually leash and muzzle your dog as opposed to your bicycle. Your dogs will not be allowed to occupy seats. You will be responsible for cleaning up any messes. And one of the recommendations is that before you go on the Metro, you take your dog out to prevent any incident, mm-hmm. walk them about. And anyone that doesn't really follow the rules, of course, you know, you could lose your privilege of riding with your dogs altogether. Now, dogs will not be allowed for the time being to go on buses or paratransit vehicles. The STM does allow caged pets and service animals on public transit, but they're not there yet right now with dogs. And, you know, the constables, these STM special constables and the Montreal Police Metro will be able to enforce the guidelines. They can issue warnings and they can escort you off the Metro, but really they don't have much more power than that. This whole idea, frankly, was the pilot project came about in response to the Montreal SPCA's Fido Takes the Metro campaign, and that garnered 18,000 signatures. And so they looked at other cities. They looked at Toronto. They looked at Paris, Berlin. By the way, Toronto allows dogs without muzzles. And again, we are going to be asking that dogs wear muzzles here in Montreal. And so one of the things that the SPA is saying is that you should go online and you should see how to, you know, do this, because not all dogs are going to be comfortable with a muzzle on them. I know that my dog Romeo is probably not going to like that too much. Mm. But what I do love about this, and this goes to the top of your comments here, it's going to allow people really to have more mobility. If you have a dog and you want to bring a dog to a dog park and you don't necessarily have one near you, or you're confined to an apartment building and you want to really have your dog meet up with other dogs, you can take the Metro. You can become mobile and go to other places in the city. And so I think this is a good thing. And it's, I could understand some of the apprehension. I'm sure that people are going to need to get used to it. I was thinking about allergies at one point. You know, I have terrible allergies to cats. I mean, I have none to Romeo as a dog, of course, but a cat, I'm like, it's terrible. And so I know when I walk into someone's home or in an enclosed space, if a cat's been there. So I can kind of imagine maybe some of that going on. But for the most part, I think The goal is to see, you know, to work out the kinks, right? To see what works, what doesn't work, make it Montreal specific. But I think it's a great thing. And really, we should embrace the idea as opposed to being so, you know, up in arms about it.
But you bring up the point about people who have allergies. But, you know, from what I understand, or correct me if I'm wrong, are the dogs on the metro restricted to one specific car?
They will not be, they will be encouraged not to go to the front cars, but they will not be restricted to any one specific car.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So you can definitely bring your dog and, you can walk in as long as like the rules state, you can't take up any seat and it's between those hours. But unlike the BC bicycle owners, they must use the front metro of the car. But with that in mind, the dog owners are actually discouraged from riding in that car with their pets.
So I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe it's just with all that's going on there. You got dogs, you got bikes, you got people. I guess they just want to make sure that they kind of reserve some of that space for
bikes. It's funny because I always thought that the reason why they designated that front car for bicycles is because normally, if you ride the metro regularly, and I tend to, the front two cars tend to be the least crowded because when people get on the platform, you know, they all sort of converge toward the middle of the platform. Those middle cars are the ones that are really, really crowded. So I'm surprised that they didn't make that restriction with the dogs.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's, I just think it's a question of trying to not have a situation where you're tangling up, you know, dogs and these bicycles that perhaps can take up a lot of space. And so who knows, you know, I think with time, I really do believe that the goal of this pilot project is to see, you know, are we creating a restriction that doesn't really make sense? Can we just let them go wherever they want? And so I think that'll come out in the wash. But I think this is a beautiful idea. I mean, originally when I heard it, I said, okay. But as I read more and more about it and I understand the reasoning as to why this was so important to people, I think we need to be mindful of that. So
The question is, which dog gets the honor of dropping the first little souvenir on one of these cars?
Exactly. I mean, look, I think, again, you know, we'll probably see dispensers within the metro system, right, with doggy bags. And yeah. I'm sure that all of that stuff's going to come about. And but, yeah, that is perhaps the biggest concern. And it's going to happen. I mean, we got to work on the assumption it's going to happen. And that's, again, one of the reasons why dog owners are only allowed to do this during the the peak hours, off the peak hours.
So, as well, you know, not to belabor the point here, but as you know as well with your dog now, like dogs, like if they're going to have a pee and then, you know, the other dog comes by and sniffs at and decides, oh, I'm going to mark my territory.
Exactly.
So that's my concern.
Yeah. Look, again, you know, it's seeing that it's been done elsewhere in the world, I would imagine that with time, this gets regulated, if you will, you know. But like, again, they're gonna be mistakes, and we just got to deal with it. By the way, would not be the first time that somebody takes a pee in the metro.
Hey, it's not a mistake I'm gonna make a third time. Let me tell you that much. All right, so this is a 9-month project, and when's it starting?
October the 15th.
October the 15th.
So in a few weeks' time, yeah, it should be good. I'm excited to see take place.
And there's no additional fare for the dog.
No fair. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Do you know, tell me about this story involving cheese and I guess a misunderstanding. It was described as a vegan product.
You know, I read this story and I had a reaction to like, what? So what happened was the city of Montreal sued a local producer, and I'm going to give them a shout out. Their name is Rossim Raw Vegan Inc. Okay. And they were represented by another lawyer. So I don't have a vested interest in this whatsoever. The city sued a local producer, this particular company, because they used the word cheese on a packaging to describe the company's vegan cream cheese product. Mm. And it's made of cashew nuts and whatnot. And it says very specifically on the packaging that it's a quote, non-dairy cultured cashew cream cheese. They make it clear that it's non-dairy. And the city took umbrage with all this, following up on provincial and federal standards, saying that using the word cheese in the description, I guess, was misleading or violated some regulation, etc. And they sued them for this amount, this fine, for like $1,500 to $2,000. This was a four-year battle. The guy actually had lost in his first instance, and then eventually the decision got overturned in his favor. And the judge said, I agree with this company. The packaging clearly states that the products are non-dairy. And I looked at this and I said, who was the genius that decided to sue this company? Like, this could not have been resolved. This could not have been worked out. And sure enough, this particular, the president of this company said, I'm surprised, he said. You know, the city of Montreal has a mandate to support local businesses. It took a toll on them. It was 4 years of legal uncertainty. Here they are trying to build a brand.
Yeah.
This is not a good thing when you're trying to build a business, right? And it's this type of stuff. You know, as a lawyer and as a business lawyer, by the way, when I look at this, I say, what are you doing? What are you doing to this guy? You know, you could have worked this out. Instead, you took him to court. You had him spend money on lawyers. 4 years where he didn't know whether or not this product was going to be one of his core products or maybe even part of his core business. And in the end, he was vindicated. But, you know, he wants an apology. And you know what? He deserves an apology. So, you know, this, I get it. I get the rules may have, in the mind of a city lawyer, been breached or whatnot. But to sue the guy, really?
I totally agree. Yeah. To me, you know, my approach in life is let's take the road of least hassle here.
Absolutely. This was a breakdown in communications. This could have been worked out. I don't know how this ended up to be a four-year battle.
Yeah. Dino, we're going to blame the dogs. We only have a minute, but tell me quickly about this, the story about lethal injection in Alabama.
Yeah, very quickly. An Alabama man who was scheduled to be executed by lethal injection is still alive today after officials could not find his vein before a midnight deadline to execute him. And I got to tell you, when I saw the story, it's horrific when you think about it. It just reminded me how lucky we are in Canada to not have this barbaric practice still in place. We abolished the death penalty in 76. Our last two executions took place in 1962 in Toronto. Mm. And, you know, just the idea that they were trying to get this guy's, you know, his vein. And by the way, there have been instances in Alabama and elsewhere in the U.S. where they botched these situations and caused stress and hardship for the individual who is about to be executed and, you know, looking for someone's vein. I mean, the whole idea is just so crazy. And so I read this story and I said to myself, thank God I'm here and I'm not there.
You're here. Dino, enjoy the day. Enjoy your Sunday. And we'll chat next week.
Thank you, sir. Be well.
Dino Mazzoni joining us every Sunday morning at 7:40. It's 7:51 on a cloudy, no rain downtown. Let me know if it's raining where you are because it looks like the rain is going to happen a lot sooner than later. 12 at the moment, 19 is the high, and we still have the promise of a sunny break or two. That would be nice, but definitely some rain on the way today, tomorrow and Tuesday as well. When we come back, a flawless live performance of an Elton John classic by the man himself.